Part 2. You'll hear a reporter called Ruth Sampson describing a visit she made to the Arctic Circle with a team of Canadian wildlife experts. For questions 7 to 14, complete the sentences. You now have 45 seconds to look at Part 2.
Last year, I found myself flying to the Arctic Circle with 5 biologists from the Canadian Wildlife Service. As our small plane descended towards a snow-covered runway, I looked out of the window at the frozen ocean below. I could see small holes in the ice and, around them, lots of extraordinary little figures rather like ants. I was told they were seals basking on the ice in the sun. 10 minutes after we'd landed, I had my first sighting of a wolf, which my eagle-eyed colleagues pointed out to me, at least 700 metres away. And later on, I was lucky enough to see a caribou with its huge antlers at much closer range. At first sight, the Arctic seems to be a kind of desert, but there are plants and animals around. You just have to look around for them. You may find what's called an oasis. This is a little confined area with access to water, where vegetation can establish itself and provide nutrients for animals. Arctic plants have evolved to cope with this harsh environment, like the yellow Arctic poppy, which only has a tiny tuft of leaves visible, as the bulk of the plant, a network of roots, stays underground. Its leaves remain green all winter, so it can make the most of the short growing season. The diversity of bird species decreases as you travel north, but there are birds which spend the winter here, and others that come back in the spring. Most of these birds get their nourishment from seeds, although a predator like the snowy owl feeds on small mammals called lemmings, and others do manage to find fish. For accommodation, we had tents which looked just like the igloos the local Inuit people build out of ice, with little tunnels at the front, only ours were orange and made of nylon, and our only connection to the outside world was our radio link. You notice how light the snow cover is. It scatters with the wind, and there are hardly any deep drifts. Apart from the cold, the main hazard is the wildlife, and I received a brief introduction on the correct action to take if a polar bear came to visit. There are other large animals, like the muskox, but they seldom pose a threat. Another thing was that recording the team's descriptions of wildlife, which was my task, was incredibly difficult. The recorder itself was fine, but batteries just don't work in the cold, so I had to hold them inside my thick coat to keep them warm. But on the whole, I found it a fairly amazing...
Now you'll hear the recording again.
Last year, I found myself flying to the Arctic Circle with 5 biologists from the Canadian Wildlife Service. As our small plane descended towards a snow-covered runway, I looked out of the window at the frozen ocean below. I could see small holes in the ice and, around them, lots of extraordinary little figures rather like ants. I was told they were seals basking on the ice in the sun. 10 minutes after we'd landed, I had my first sighting of a wolf, which my eagle-eyed colleagues pointed out to me, at least 700 metres away. And later on, I was lucky enough to see a caribou with its huge antlers at much closer range. At first sight, the Arctic seems to be a kind of desert, but there are plants and animals around. You just have to look around for them. You may find what's called an oasis. This is a little confined area with access to water, where vegetation can establish itself and provide nutrients for animals. Arctic plants have evolved to cope with this harsh environment, like the yellow Arctic poppy, which only has a tiny tuft of leaves visible, as the bulk of the plant, a network of roots, stays underground. Its leaves remain green all winter, so it can make the most of the short growing season. The diversity of bird species decreases as you travel north, but there are birds which spend the winter here, and others that come back in the spring. Most of these birds get their nourishment from seeds, although a predator like the snowy owl feeds on small mammals called lemmings, and others do manage to find fish. For accommodation, we had tents which look just like the igloos the local Inuit people build out of ice, with little tunnels at the front, only ours were orange and made of nylon. And our only connection to the outside world was our radio link. You notice how light the snow cover is. It scatters with the wind, and there are hardly any deep drifts. Apart from the cold, the main hazard is the wildlife, and I received a brief introduction on the correct action to take if a polar bear came to visit. There are other large animals, like the muskox, but they seldom pose a threat. Another thing was that recording the team's descriptions of wildlife, which was my task, was incredibly difficult. The recorder itself was fine, but batteries just don't work in the cold, so I had to hold them inside my thick coat to keep them warm. But on the whole, I found it a fairly amazing...
That's the end of part two. Now turn to part three.